celebrating Christmas, and every year we do celebrate Christmas. But you know that Jesus Christ himself, the Lord Jesus that came to our earth, is a manifestation of God's love. And it should be very proper that you understand what you are celebrating. It will be very appropriate that you don't celebrate Christians like the heathens who don't know God at all, who think that it's a holiday to eat turkey and do whatever they want to do. I've been thinking since yesterday or something. I said to the Lord, if not for Jesus, we would have all been in trouble. All of us. Who would have delivered us from Satan? Who would have delivered us from sin? Who would have delivered us from judgment? Who would have given us any hope in this world at all? I was just thinking along that line, you know. So we should be able to know what we are really, really celebrating. Jesus Christ is the love of God in person. Jesus Christ is the love of God in what? In person. The love of God was personified. In 1 John 4, verse 9, it says, a New King James Version, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us. The love of God was made manifest, was revealed, was shown to the whole world, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this, in sending his Son, God revealed his love to the whole world. In Titus 2:11, Jesus was called the grace of God. The Bible described him this way. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. For the grace of God has been what? Revealed, bringing salvation to all people. So he called Jesus, described him as the grace of God personified, the grace of God in person, the grace of God in person that came and brought salvation to the whole world. In Lamentation, Jeremiah called him the mercy of God. In Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies. It is of the Lord's what? Mercies that we are not consumed. So what was that saved us from consumption by sin, by the devil, by judgment, from hell? Is the Lord's mercies. Jesus was described as the mercy of God personified. Described as the grace of God, described as the mercies of God, described as the love of God in person, manifested, revealed to the whole world. And you know, what this mercy did for us and what this love did for us is so incredible. And Jesus himself told us that everybody, the scripture says God is love, right? For God is what? But Jesus came and said, if you've seen my Father who is love, if you've seen me, you have also seen what? My Father. My Father and I are one. So if God is love, and God sent his Son, so we see God's love personified. You could accurately say that Jesus is God's love personified, because he says, you are seeing God. If God is love, you are seeing it right here. It's being revealed to you. He says, if you have seen me, then you've seen my Father. If God is love, then you've seen Jesus, you've seen God's love personified. And like I said, he's been described as the grace of God, described as the mercies of God. And you know what those things did for us. He gave us grace. He brought us grace. Grace of God is giving us what we do not merit. Is that? Or giving us what we merit? Which one is that? Grace is giving us what we do not merit. It's what he gave us. What is it we do not merit? We do not merit forgiveness. We do not merit eternal life. None of us merits forgiveness. None of us merits eternal life. There is no blessing of God we merit. Nothing at all. But Jesus brought us. That grace brought us salvation. We did not merit forgiveness at all. So he gave it to us. Do you know what eternal life is? Have you ever bothered to ask God, what is this eternal life that you gave me? Does anybody know? What is eternal life? I mean, we've been Christians every day. We read it. God gave us eternal life. So what is? Can you tell somebody this is what eternal life means in a practical way that makes sense for him? What is eternal life? Huh? Life everlasting. What is eternal life? If you say eternal life is everlasting life, it's the same thing you are saying. You haven't explained it. What is eternal life? Huh? Life everlasting. Huh? What is eternal life? It's Jesus. What is eternal life? Huh? Jesus. Huh? God's kind of life. God's kind of life. You know why it's eternal? Is that it cannot be separated from life. It's life itself. There's no possibility of death there. It's God's life itself. So it's eternal life. It's an endless life because it's God's life. You see, when we sin, the soul that sinned shall what? We were separated from God. But eternal life cannot be separated because it's life itself. You cannot. So that's why it's eternal. It cannot be separated. It's just God, the life that was in God, that was in Christ. It cannot be separated. There's no point. It's not possible. That's life. So you can't separate life from life. That's why it's called eternal. It's eternally life. There's no death in it. Because it's God's life. Can I hear amen? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's God's life. So there's no possibility of separating it from it. There's no possibility of death there. It's not possible. That's why it's eternal. It's endless. When we sinned, we were separated from God. But God came and gave us this one that is inseparable from him, because that's his life. But if you get it, you see why you are joined to Christ. You become one spirit, what? With him. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. The Christian must know what he got. You got a union with Christ that is eternal. You got a life that can't die, because there's no possibility of death there. Somebody who doesn't have it is separated from God. And the bottomless pit of death is continuous separation from God for life. It's the opposite of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Do you know this thing that circles the earth, the satellites that go around the earth? It's a continuous free fall. That thing you see circulating is continuously falling. Continuously falling. That's why it's weightless. Well, I don't know why I'm talking science to you here. Honey, did you get what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we got this life that cannot die. Why is it it cannot die? It's the life of God. It's life. That's Jesus said, hey, when he said, the water I will give you will be springing up from you unto eternal life. Which means the life I will give you, is it can't die. It springs on. What it produces is continuous life. It's the life that I have that I'm giving you. I came that you have life. I have it what? That's why it's more abundantly. It keeps, it's continuous. It can't diminish. Praise the Lord. When I have symptoms of sickness, I laugh my head off. I say, no, you can't handle what is in me. It continuously bubbles life. That's why the Bible says the spirit that raised Christ that is in you gives life to your mortal bodies. Understand Christianity. We don't merit that. We don't merit that at all. And God gave it to us. And then he gave us the mercy. What is mercy? What is mercy? Mercy is he didn't give us what we deserve. For all have sinned. From short of the glory of God. And then the wages of sin is there. So he didn't give us death. He didn't give us death. He forgave us all our sins. So that's what the love of God did. That's what the manifestation of this love deed. Do you know that that is what it has to do? Because by nature, that's the way it is. It can't act any other way. It just can't act in. God doesn't have a wicked nature. No, it can't act any other way. His love, that's what it does. He has to. He lives. He loves. So he came manifesting himself and brought us forgiveness of our sins and brought us eternal life. He brought us, number one, what? I want to hear you say that. Forgiveness of our sins. And he brought us what? Eternal life. Let's say it one more time. He brought us what? Forgiveness of our sins. He brought us what? Eternal life. And now Jesus, you know, the first Christmas, brethren, listen to me. The first Christmas when the angels were announcing the birth of Jesus, they were not simply announcing that Jesus was born. They were specifying why they were rejoicing. They made it clear why they were rejoicing. You don't do Christmas, a mindless Christmas, like heathens who just go to church. You got to know, you don't do mindless things with God. You know, I'm telling you, don't do mindless things with God, because there's no life in things like that. You have to have a Christmas that is an informed Christmas. Like the angels, when they were announcing the birth of Jesus, they said to us, unto us a Savior is born. It was a big stuff. That's why you do Christmas. I mean, you celebrate that unto us a what? A Savior is born. People who sat in darkness saw great light. And then they announced again that Christ has come. Somebody shout hallelujah. They said Christ, the Christ of God has arrived on the scene, that the Lord has come. And there was great rejoicing in heaven. Not just that Jesus was born, but the identity of who was born was a huge stuff. When the Bible says that the love of God has been made manifest, it's a huge stuff. Nobody has seen anything like this. Nobody. And here we're talking about Christ that was born. In fact, let's read it. Let's see what the angels were saying. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. What did he tell them? Brethren, the arrival of Jesus brought the end of fear. Somebody shout hallelujah. The arrival of Jesus brought the end of fear. Tell your neighbor, fear not. I didn't hear you. Come on. Fear not. Come on, one more time. Fear not. That's why we enjoy Christmas. Fear has come to a screeching halt. Why? The Lord has appeared on the scene. So when the angels announced to the whole world, what did they tell us, number one? Fear. Is anybody here fearful? Then let me announce to you the reason for Christmas. We are celebrating that fear is finished. Fear not. Why should I not fear? For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to how many people? All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's why it's no fear. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign. He told them what shall be the sign. And then verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth what has come? Peace. You can preach 1 month on this. You are not done. Because each of these things has its own volume. Peace has come. God is restoring man to himself, forgiving our sins and restoring us to himself. Peace to men. That's Christmas. And you know, when Jesus stood, it's amazing. Jesus stood before this woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman. You know what Jesus asked? Look up here. You know what he said? If only you know this gift that God gave you. If only what? You know this gift. Christians, if only we know this gift we're celebrating today. If only. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, what did Jesus say to her? John chapter 4, verse 10. John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if what? If thou knowest the what? The gift of God. Brethren, this is where the trouble is. This is the issue. This is not to make you feel good on Christmas Day. Ignorance will knock you off. Ignorance will rob you of the best of God. We're trying to solve a major problem here. It's not an issue of eating rice. It's not an issue of this is Christmas and we're saying Christmas, God. This is wonderful, beautiful. But this, the question Jesus is asking this woman is, if only you know. I was like, look, she has no idea who is standing. Look human, but if only you know. If thou knowest what? The gift of God. You know the gift of God. If you know the gift of God. And who is it that said to thee, give me to drink? Then thou would have simply asked of him, I would have given thee what? Living water. If only we know the gift of God. If only, brethren, we know the gift of God that we're celebrating today. We can walk in and receive everything he paid for. Free of charge. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. If I give you a gift card and you go to ShopRite, you think they're going to bother about who you are? Huh? Don't bother about who you are. You know the reason they give you that? Is the gift card. If you think you're walking into God's kingdom to get things because of you, you're wasting your time. The only reason you get it is if only you know the gift. Christmas gift that God gave you. He said, this living water is yours. If only you know. If only you know. Healing is yours. Blessings are yours. All these things are yours. Fully paid for. If only what? Christmas will be every day. Christmas is not in eating rice. Christmas is in experiencing the gift of God. Brethren, may I tell us something? What is the use? You get a gift and you are celebrating the gift. You didn't even unwrap it. And you don't know what is in there. What is the use of celebrating a gift you haven't even what? Unwrapped. And you don't know what is in there. And even when you know what is in there, you don't even know how to use it. I'm trying to illustrate something. What is the use? Jesus said, if only you know the gift of what? Of God. If only you know it. Which means the only problem is, do you really know this gift of God that the angels were announcing? The Savior has been born. Christ is here. Peace to men. He said, if only you know it. So why am I celebrating a gift that I have not unwrapped? I don't know what is in there. And when I look at it, I don't even know how to use it. And he said to that woman, you would have asked and he would have given thee living water. Brethren, wait a minute. Whoa, let's talk. Ask Jesus to give you what? Who is asking? The town prostitute. A woman who changes husband like cloth. Even the one he's living with now is what? Not her husband. And Jesus said, if you know the mercy of God, if you understand the grace of God, I'll give you living water in spite of what you're doing. If you understand who is here, the gift of God. God gave you a gift. If you understand what it is. In spite of the fact that you are changing husbands like cloth, and the one you live with you now is not even what? Your husband. If only you know who God gave you, the gift of God. This living water is yours. Unmerited. Grace, mercy. You don't merit it. You don't deserve it. But if only you know what? The gift of God. I want to ask us, do you think this woman, if she was your relative this Christmas, would you send her a gift? Only one person said yeah. Others kept quiet. Now, many people in your family who are needful, how many of you have prayed for this Christmas? Who didn't even come change husbands? They didn't change husbands. The illustration there is that Jesus is saying to this woman, I have a package to bless you. You don't deserve it. You don't merit it, but it's all yours anyway because I'm the gift of God to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't merit it anyway. You don't have to do 50 days dry fasting for it. You don't have to do all this junk that people do for it. It's all yours. It's a gift of God. If only you know this package that God gave you, already given to you, before you even were born, was given to you. Is anybody following me here? If you are following me, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. If only you know that your healing is yours. It's a gift. You know what Paul asked Galatians? He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit and the miracles by working yourself out? He said, was it not simply by hearing of it that you received these things? And then we receive this life of Christ. We receive this life. We receive this Spirit of Christ in us and his living in us. So I received Jesus Christ. I received Jesus Christ. I received who? How many of us received Jesus? Shout hallelujah. So I received Jesus Christ. This Jesus in me, is it different from the one the Bible is talking about? Is it something? The love of God. For God is love. Jesus is love. Jesus said, if you see me, see my Father, why the same thing? So God is love. Jesus is love. Now Jesus is in me. Guess what God did? He sent me to people. That's what he did. He sent you to what? People. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I. So what did he send us to do? The same thing the Father sent him to do to us. Not different. Because it's the same Spirit. To give people grace, mercy, forgiveness, do good, bless your enemies, pray for them that despisefully use you. Let that woman stand before you who changes husbands, who is a prostitute, who is an adulterer. If only she knows what you are carrying. Peter stood at the altar at the gate called Beautiful. He said to that man, silver and gold have I not, but there's something God gave me for you. Such as I have, I give you. There's something I receive freely. And I'm going to give you freely. The Lord is here. And they said to him, Jesus Christ, make it thee whole. Somebody shout hallelujah. There is something you have, the love of God in you. And the Bible says it's an obligation that you give people this love. You owe it to everybody. It's an obligation. It was given to you freely. And Jesus said to you, freely also what? Give. You cannot demand payment for the love of God. It's an abomination to do that. It is unimaginable that any human being would do that. Praise the Lord. Are there people you have denied forgiveness? You won't forgive them. You will not forgive them. Do you know the gift you have is for them? You are carrying the love of God. And the Bible says, owe no man anything. Don't owe them that love. You must give it to them. This Christmas, I went to ShopRite to buy some things. And my wife warned me, say, you won't find parking. He said, I went there. Wow, even to go and get parking, difficult. As I was doing this thing, the Lord said to me, you don't need parking for my gift. You have it already. You have it to give to people. It's the best gift ever. The love of Jesus. Can somebody shout hallelujah? You don't buy it. You don't queue up for it. You don't go to parking lot for it. You don't sweat for it. You already carry it everywhere you go. And you give it to those who don't deserve it, to those who don't merit it. Are you doing Christmas when you are withholding forgiveness from somebody? Do you know the gift you received is forgiveness of your sins? Am I talking to somebody? Can I hear amen? That's the greatest thing you give to people, the love of Jesus. There was a man that Jesus told, the Lord told him, he said, I'll visit your house today. So the man went and swept his house. Have you gone home? Are you still here? If you are still here, shout hallelujah. My friend, go home and forgive people. Stop being agitated in your spirit. What you are doing is ungodly. You can't hold the gift God gave you freely. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely what? Stop waiting until they come and beg you. That's pride. It's arrogance. How much did you beg God when he sent his son? Give people forgiveness. Give them mercy. The Bible says we should speak. When we speak, we should give people grace. Let your speech minister what? Grace to people. It's not anger. It's not all this things. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's not what you receive. You are given a strange spirit. Let your speech minister what? Grace and edification to the hearer. Somebody is sitting here, you are really agitated in your spirit, totally agitated. But you know, when you do that, you set yourself free. And so Jesus came to this man and told him, he said, I'll visit your house. So if Jesus told you he will visit your house, what will you do first? Huh? Clean your house. Everything, that's what he did. I remember one of our members when I was in Lagos. And he came to me after Bible studies. He said, Pastor, the Lord came to me in a vision. He said, I'm visiting your church today. He said, that's why I dress like a Sunday. And then he didn't come. He said, I came to Bible, so I was number one to come. I said, I didn't notice you. Besides, I said, he didn't come. I was expecting him. He said, didn't you see why I dressed now? He said, he didn't come. We had normal Bible studies. But what he didn't know that was before the Bible studies, a light came into my office. I was darting all over my office. And I went and called our workers. I said, where is this thing coming? So we're all searching for where. So we landed on looking. As we were looking, the thing came where we were stood before us. And before long, it came between my leg and stood there. I said, I don't know what this thing is. One thing I know, it will not kill me. So I went and sat at my table to work. The thing came on my table. The light was on my table, right? So when she was telling me, I said, there's a light that came darting all over the office. I don't know. So she dressed. He said, Pastor, maybe he's the one. I said, I don't know. If it's him, praise the Lord. Light is always good. I don't know. So this brother, the Lord said, I'm coming to visit you, your house. He went and swept his house clean, dressed himself for it. Getting ready for the Lord to come. He was praying. He had his Bible. He was sitting quietly, studying. Then he'd go and eat quickly, rush back. Maybe the Lord will come while he's eating. So he was doing all of that. Morning came, afternoon came, evening came, night came. Nobody showed up. And he was so disappointed. He said, Lord, maybe I committed sin. Maybe I did something and you didn't come. He said, Lord, come back tomorrow. And he said to the Lord, he said, did I commit any sin you didn't come? But within the day, he had, you know these homeless people that wonder, one of them came and knocked on his door and said that he was too hungry. He needed food. So he took him in and gave him food and wanted to hurry him out, so he won't be there when the Lord comes. So another one came. He said, what did I do today? You people are invading my house. Today the Lord is coming. So he said, what do you want? I said, food. He said, come and eat quickly and leave. Because I have a special visitor. I'm going to have fellowship with him. So he fed that one. He went. Then the third one came. And he gave him food, wanting him to go. That one said, I need to rest. He said, rest? I have somebody coming. Carry the food, go to the street. He said, but I need to rest. He said, okay, rest too. And then the person slept. Then finally left. And then he was praying. He said to the Lord, he said, why is it you didn't come, you promised me? He said, I came 3 times and you received me 3 times. I came how many times? And you what? You know the person you have refused to forgive is Jesus you are refusing to serve. You know why Jesus said I came 3 times? Because he said it in the Bible. He said I was in prison. And what? I was hungry. And you what? And they said, when did we see you? He said, you see all those people you see? It's me. Why is it him? Can somebody tell me why he said it's me? Why is it him? Why did Jesus say it's me you didn't feed? Why? There are people who are hungry, who don't have Jesus. They are not Christians. But Jesus said it's me. Why? Why? Huh? He took their place. They may not know it. But that doesn't change the fact that he took what? Their place. Before God, he has already taken their place. If they accept it, it comes into their life. But that doesn't change the fact that he died for everyone. So he's identifying with them. But they are rejecting him. That's another part of the story. But the fact they are rejecting him, they have not accepted him, does not make him change his position with them. He said, I took their place on earth. They can go to hell if they reject him. They can. But he's not denying them either. So he said, if you do it to them, you are doing it to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Gordy, can you come for a second? So here is Brother Gordy. Brother Gordy has refused to forgive me. You refuse to forgive. Okay. So when God refuses to forgive me, what is Jesus saying? It's me you are rejecting. Why? Even though I wronged him, but Jesus said, this man, I died for him. I took his place. Do it for my name's sake. Do it what? For my name's sake. If you do it, you do it for me. So as long as he's refusing, who is he denying the service? The Lord. But he doesn't know. But if you understand that, he said, no. That's why he said, do all things in my name, for my glory, do it. And he says, I'll do it for you, Lord. And he comes to me and says, Pastor, I forgive you everything. You know what he has done? Jesus said, I gave you that gift for all. Because I know he's not a good person. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Romans 13, 8, and I'll close with that. That is a New Living Translation. Romans 13, 8. Owe nothing to anyone. Owe nothing to what? Except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Now, before I go and sit down, have you ever met a postmaster who doesn't know where to deliver his goods? He doesn't know who owns a particular package. And he's asking you whether it's your house. They've delivered my goods somewhere 3 houses away from me. And then we were looking for it. We couldn't find it. The postmaster didn't know where to deliver it. He didn't know to whom it was given. He knew what the Lord told me. He said, many Christians are like that. They don't know the gift I gave them for people. They don't know where to deliver it. And they don't know who owns it. said the love I gave them is like sending them like postmasters. Deliver it to their neighbor. Whoever is your neighbor, deliver my love to them. Say they carry it around, they don't deliver it. And they become unfaithful servants. You must not be a postmaster who doesn't know where to deliver God's love. Can I hear amen? Amen. Now you know where to deliver it. Give them Christmas every day. Can I hear amen? Amen. Carry your post, carry it, and go and stand before that woman and say, if you know the gift of God, I have for you. Say, what is that? I forgive you. I love you. I brought you a gift. You become a good postmaster for God. As the Father has sent me, so send I you to deliver the love of God to people. Christmas is not just eating rice. It's about knowing the gift of God that God gave us and then knowing the gift of God that God gave you to give to people. Knowing the gift of God that God gave us and knowing the gift of God that God gave us to give to people. I have an obligation to do that. Can I hear amen? Let's bow our heads.